If you want to announce that it's being recorded and it'll be available online.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Is it 3 o'clock? Can you hear me? Can everybody hear me? Okay. This session is going to be recorded, so don't say anything really weird. Billy will let you know where. It'll be online. Central Coast Roundup, it'll be online. So you can, if you miss anybody, then you can do that. Anyway, my name is Pam, and I'm an alcoholic. I am not of the old-timers yet, because I had a very long relapse before I got sober again. I have 13 years right now. Is that not working? Is that better? Okay. So, but I hope to be. But I have the most wonderful sponsor who does. So I'm going to start with, this is over 20 years, we asked you. And maybe join me in the serenity prayer first. Okay? So we'll bless this place and bless these speakers. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So we're just looking for your strength, your hope, right? Experience, strength, and hope that you can give us. So we will be in the old-timers club, maybe one day. Won't take that much longer, 7 years. Okay, so Danielle, is first with 21 years. Her sobriety date is January 19th, 01. 4 minutes.
You'll have to tell me on the time. I'm Danielle, I'm an alcoholic. And this is the first time I've ever been to the old timers meeting. So they're going to break me in good, I guess. And I was thinking a little about, like, what can I tell you people that all have more time than me, you know, other than thank you. And thank you. When I got here, I had 3 babies. I was still nursing twins, and I had a 2-year-old. And I was a home drinker, you know, hiding it all over the house, drinking round the clock. One of the twins started sleeping through the night, and the other one was still waking up at 4 in the morning to nurse for a few minutes. So I would prepare a drink, put it in the back of the fridge, orange juice and vodka, and when he'd wake up, I'd have a drink while I nursed him. And then he was about 12 weeks old, and he started sleeping through the night. And I would wake up at 4 in the morning and go have a drink so that I could stop the shaking and go back to sleep. And I was mixing it with tons of Tylenol because I had a back problem, most of you know. And I lived off Tylenol. And you don't do that. And so I was dazed from death. My liver counts were way past coma, way past death. And 30 days later, my liver counts were normal. They locked me in a 30-day rehab, which I can so relate to Julie last night. I was like, what is a person like me doing here? And it saved my life. You know, it got me out of my drinking environment for 30 days. And then, you know, I wasn't one of the, like, lucky 1 in 10 that make it. I hate that saying. I hate that number. But it's true a lot of the time. For every 10 girls I'll sponsor, one will make it. And I was one of the ones, but all I did to be that one was did what you told me to do. They said, go to meetings. I went to meetings. They said, get a sponsor. They said, read the book. And all the things I did in that first year and that first 30 days and that first 6 months, I still do today, and I haven't found it necessary to relapse for 7,904 days, one day at a time. I was just showing my little app, that's why I know that. I think the biggest gift that sobriety and working the steps gave to me is the ability my husband has this life motto that has become my life motto, so now it's mine. Never pass up an opportunity to say nothing. And I 98% of the time, what's up here is not coming out here. And that keeps me out of so much trouble. And that's a gift of this program. And I watch old-timers let it come out sometimes, and I'm thinking, okay, we have bad examples around here, and we have good examples. And so let's appreciate the bad examples and learn not to be that way. And the ability for me to not have to let everything come out of my mouth that I'm thinking and not press send and all those things has kept me out of so much trouble and kept me from having to make amends, you know, all day, every day. Most of my amends weren't about, you know, murdering and stealing and big, huge stuff, not paying bills, and it was about my mouth. Most of my amends had to do with my mouth and my attitude, my actions. And so when I could tame my tongue, like our book talks about and like the Bible talks about, that's been the greatest gift to me of the program. I had a strong faith when I got here, and I believe that helped me. And I was about 2.5 years sober, and the cravings had gone away a long time before, but the obsession was still there. The thinking about, oh, there's my husband's a normie, and he works in the wine business, so I'm around it, and I was around it. And I really prayed for that part of the big book that says, we'll just recoil from it. I just wanted to be neutral to it because there was no way I was going to avoid being around it. And I didn't want everybody to change their lives. I wanted to just have the obsession go away. Oh, I'm at the grocery store. I'm not walking down the wine aisle. I'm having my nails done and I'm not drinking wine. I'm making dinner and I'm not drinking. I mean, I obsessed about who was drinking, how much was left, what was open. No cravings, just knowing all about it all the time. You know, at 2.5 years at a retreat, Father Jack asked if anybody had specific prayers, and someone had suggested to me, well, have you specifically prayed for that obsession to go away? And I hadn't. I just sat around hating it. And so I went in there and prayed specifically for that, and they laid hands on me. Okay. And I didn't even know it had been lifted. About a week later, I had some friends come over from Fresno and my husband, and we're all sitting around. Anyhow, the next morning I'm emptying the dishwasher and I unpacked 3 wine glasses. And I didn't even know anyone had been drinking. And that's when I realized this session was gone. And I'm so grateful for that. And it's just normal not to drink. I could care less. If there was a full bar back there, I'd go to the wine bar all the time with my husband because my daughter works there. It's just normal not to drink. And that's a gift that I've given from listening to you people and doing what you people do to stay sober. Okay.
Okay, we're going up the ladder here. Tom W. with 23 years. Friday date, May
13th,
1999.
Yeah, 1999.
You got four minutes.
Okay, I can do this. I'm Tom and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm sober by the grace of God and the gift of this program. And I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be anywhere. And I've been sober 23 years and I have, I believe I'll be sober for another 23 if I live that long. And I can say that because, well, I believe that. And when I say I believe, I have what we were talking about in the other room. I have faith. And also when I walk into a room and I flip a light switch and I expect the lights to come on, I have faith. Also when I put my key in the ignition and turn it to the right, I have faith that my power will start. That's faith. And if it doesn't, I have faith that my battery is dead. And then I have to call AAA, not AA. Because I need faith in them coming inside my God. So I have, no, I'm saying that because this program has given me faith. I got into the program at 55, and I had a lot to do. That's what my sponsor told me. Everything about me was going to have to change.
You know, that was 23 years ago. Not everything about me has changed, but many things have. And I have the faith that I can keep doing this as long as I keep coming back. That's what I've been reminded to do. Keep coming back, practice this program on a daily basis, remember the principles, and faith, by the way, is associated with the third step. And it really doesn't have much to do with God, because you can have faith in anything. As long as you don't even have to have proof, and you've got faith. So I'm grateful this program gave me a lot of faith, especially in myself, to keep doing what I'm doing so I can keep getting what I'm getting. Thank you for letting me share.
Okay, and now one of my favorite speakers is Miss Arlene, who is my sponsor, and she is 26 years. God bless her. Sobriety date is March 29th, 1996.
My name is Arlene, and I am an alcoholic. And I wouldn't be coming to AA if I wasn't. Why would I come here anyway, right? You know, I love Alcoholics Anonymous because you know what? You guys helped me to grow up. Not only did you help me to grow up, but you educated me at the same time. I couldn't read and write when I first came in here. I couldn't speak really good language, English, even though that's supposed to be my given gift. But you guys have taught me so much. You know, like Tom was talking about faith. You know, I found out that hope, the hope that we, alcoholics, sticking together, doing things together, reaching our hands out, and I believe closed mouth will not get fed. So if you want us to help you, you've got to share it, what's going on. I believe in that a whole bunch. And then sometimes if I get upset and disappointed and I feel like I'm going to be ugly or something like that, I make this invisible thing called an elevator, and I put you or me or the circumstances, whatever's going on, and I send that up to God because you guys taught me let go, let God. And that's what I do today. You know, and just because you're an Alcoholic Anonymous and you learn how to do all this stuff, resentment's the number one offender. It doesn't matter if it comes from the rooms or it comes from your family or if it comes from your job. That is going to put you out. And everybody talks about their head talking to themselves. Look how far it is to the ear. Look how far, how close. And when that starts talking to you and something happens, it gets louder. And next thing you know, you're an arm length like I am from a drink. By the grace of God, I believe if I pick up that drink, I'm going to die. I keep that focus on me. Not so much on you, but on me. Because you know what? If I want to be a member of AA, I have to do what's been suggested. And the most important thing is I love the WE program. Because without you, I wouldn't be here. Without you, I wouldn't be alive today. Who would have thought? I'm going to be 71 and a half in a couple of months. I shouldn't even be alive, more or less, being here, sharing my experience, drinking hope with you all. You know, I have been brought up totally off the, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, I have been a caregiver all of my life. And today, you guys taught me to care for me first, and then I'll be able to care for you. Thank you.
Okay, we have 29 years with Al sitting here, and his sobriety date is
8/24/93. Hey, Al, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Al.
Welcome to all of you. Wow, my experience was full-blown insanity. And, you know, I arrest after arrest after arrest, jail time. You know, the whole insane deal. My last arrest, I was a single parent, my last arrest, you know, one more time I'm scrambling to make the phone calls and get somebody to pick up the kid because it doesn't look like I'm coming home. And, you know, I I had worked out a deal the last time to do 2 years in prison. And they lost the evidence. So they sent me to a rehab. Okay? That's what it was like. A rehab. I asked the judge, can I please go to jail instead? I don't want to start drinking. You know? And, of course, you guys know, he read me the riot act. He told me I had a chance when I got out. But anyway, you know, I got past there. You know, I got out of the rehab one day. Met some people I didn't like. I didn't like any of you guys. You know? And fought the program for, you know, 19 months. She stayed over there and got thrown back in jail at that time. And, you know, I had had enough. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I came out of there, went to a men's stag, and I told him, you know what, I can't do this alone anymore. I need help. I need you guys. And you guys stepped forward. You know, you got my number. You know, you made phone calls. You know, and I was doing good for about, until my 12th year. And I got my business, you know, and my business started off, and it started off fantastic from the first day. You know, and the money was rolling in. And at 12 years, I got that sick thought. I thought, I can do this. You know, I got the big shot as me. You know, and I'm driving home, you know, and I mean, I could taste the alcohol. I could taste the old drain going down my throat with other drugs, you know. And I picked up the phone and did what I was taught to do. I called my sponsor. He talked to me until I got home. He said, go to a meeting. I'll meet you there. And one more time, you know, the hand of AA reached back out to me. You know, you guys showed me how to be a dad. You guys showed me how to be a husband. I was single at the time. You showed me how to be a husband. You showed me how to respect AA and not drop F-bombs in AA. You know, you taught me how to respect myself. You taught me how to love myself. You know, and forgive myself. And I'll tell you what, with that, it opened up a whole new horizon for me. I'll end with this. Me and my wife, she's going to get embarrassed. When we have differences, we talk to each other in the third person. And don't ask me about it, but we talk to each other in the third person, and we laugh. It never mushrooms into something big. We laugh about it, and we have names for our third person. And it's become a running joke, and AA taught me how to do that. AA taught me how to defuse, how to decompress. Thank you.
All right, next we have Julie. With 31 years, sobriety date is January 31st, 1991.
4 minutes. Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Julie. I'm an alcoholic. Grateful to be here. I was enjoying just listening, and I didn't know when you asked me my sobriety of that I was sharing. I was enjoying back there. But anyway, I've heard so many good things today in the Al-Anon meeting and the shares today. Just such good reminders of how lucky we are to be here, you know, to always guide us back like a rudder, you know, onto the path of, you know, getting us back on track and what's good and right and just in our meeting, in our lives, and how we can share this with others. So that's all I've got. I'm going to pass my time. Thank you.
Next we have Linda. Also with 31 years. Okay, sobriety date is August 17th, 1991.
I'm Linda, and I'm an alcoholic. You know what? I asked Patrick. Patrick, what's the topic? And he said, you. And I went, oh, wow. It's going to be all about me. You know, I live for that. So, 31 years, I don't come back because I want to drink. The obsession has been lifted from me. But I have a disease of alcoholism. I, self, me. So I come back to hear how you learn how to get out of yourself, because that's what I'm trying to do, be a better person, be the person that God wants me to be, do the things that God wants me to do. I gave this little piece of paper that I have in my purse to someone I thought needed it, but it's helped me so many times. And it was called Emotional Immaturity or Maturity, and it said, when I get angry, it's because I sit around thinking about how I'm not getting my way.
And when I get resentful, it's because I'm sitting around thinking about how I didn't get my way yesterday. And then when I have fear, it's because I'm sitting around thinking about how I'm not going to get my way tomorrow. And when I get depressed, it's because I sit around thinking about how I never get my way. And that's this alcoholic. So I love you all. Thanks for your messages. All right, we have Ron with 32 years. Sobriety date is July 13th, 1990.
Ron says Ron alcoholic. Very good. Now, 32 years, just don't drink and don't die. Although the don't drink part is a little more difficult than it sounds if you're an alcoholic and I type. The most important thing that I do is go to meetings. Because I feel like I'm accountable to other sober alcoholics. The other parts of the program are very important. The financial management, have daily contact with God, and take the daily inventory and do service. I feel better. My life goes better. And I can do that most of the time. Sometimes not so much. But I still go to my meetings and talk to my spouse and stay accountable. So I'll tell you how my head goes. You can tell from this charming speech defect that I had, not to mention the fact that my wife outed me yesterday, that I suffered with oral cancer. The first time I had it, afterwards, I had a terrible time drinking and eating, but I was still drinking and something. I couldn't drink Coca-Cola anymore, it was too strong. I couldn't drink orange juice, I couldn't drink apple juice. And I was thinking, I don't know how did I even drink if I wanted to drink at this point. But then I thought, I bet if I miss Cholula with ice cream, that would be fine. I thought, that took me about 10 seconds to solve that problem. Now I've gone even further in terms of the difficulty swallowing, so that I use a feeding tube for all of my nutrition. Now, as I was in December, it's basically a clear piece of rubber, and it's just kind of stained from the drinks that you're putting in it, right? There's something you know. And I said, how can I clean that out? I thought, oh, I know. I put vodka, but flush that thing right out and kill all the germs. And then now it's easier for me to drink another. So you can see why I still need to go to meetings after 32 years. Because my brain sort of finds alcohol at the end of every problem. Amen. And it doesn't make sense, but I still have an alcoholic brain. So I go to meetings. And like I say, if you could do the whole deal and lift the steps, your life gets a lot better. I can't seem to do that 100% of the time. But if I keep my butt doing the meetings every week, then I'm still accountable to the other alcoholics. And I still don't take that drink. Thanks for understanding.
Okay, next we have Leo. Everybody knows Leo. Leo was one of the first people I met when I moved here. 34 years. 37 years? 37 years? Is that? Okay. 12, 10, 87?
No. That's wrong. What was it? 8485.
8485. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Leo alcoholic. Two things I want to read. I know some people, you know, aren't sumpers in that, but I've always been a sumper. I think it saved my life. But whenever I'm asked to share, I'll read these two things. We are people who normally would not mix, but there exists among us a fellowship of friendliness and an understanding which is indescribably wonderful. And the other thing, I wish they would have read this out of step 9 when I first came in, because when I came in, I came in my first meeting 2 days out of jail, had served time for hot dog thievery, I'm in a blackout. A DUI on my way to jail to turn myself in for hot dog thievery. Then when I get out, I drink. I always remember two old English 800s. and then the next day a half pint of Seagram's, and I came in September 17th, 82. So my sobriety date has not been continuous, but I've stayed in Alcoholics Anonymous, what would be another week, 40 straight years. And the other thing I wish they would arrest, because I had upon family, friends, employers, 13 arrests through my alcoholism. And I say about the hot dog thievery, but some of those arrests were in Sacramento, could have been battery, assault with a deadly weapon, burglary, couple petty thefts. And the reason they gave me 90 days in jail on that hot dog thievery, because I was in a blackout and I wanted to bring something for the barbecue. And I'll share the quick story, is that we went into Circle K, we were going over to Waller Park, and my road dogs, you know what road dogs are, road dogs do the wheels fall off, these are basically your chronic alcoholics. They said, I went in, the clerk asked, I put 2 8-packs of hot dogs, like, we're having a barbecue today, okay, so I want to bring something to the barbecue, so I put 2 8-packs, both in the back pocket. They went, of course, I don't know. I get up there and they say, are you going to pay for those? I don't know if they said wieners, hot dogs, whatever. Are you going to pay for these? And the guy said, I said, no, not at this time. So I, you know, but they, I got arrested later on, sentenced to 90 days, and on my way to turn myself in, arrested for a DUI. So I wish they'd have read this line here. Most of us begin making certain kinds of direct amends from the day we join Alcoholics Anonymous. The moment we tell our families that we're really going to try the program, the process has begun. And with that, if I was to share anything with anyone about Alcoholics Anonymous, what I'd say is about the first 30 minutes of the day, get on the right road. I'm one of these that still reads 84 through 88. I have the third step, seventh step, 11th step. I have my God can. I ask God to direct my thinking. I ask Him to free me from self-pity, dishonest self-seeking motive. And then I ask my higher power to help me to make the right choices today. I stopped by earlier today over at the hospitality to see if I could bring anything, and you know, they're loaded up, and then I get asked to do this. So I ask my higher power, saying, you're going to participate. I take Alcoholics Anonymous very seriously. I have a brother 37 years sober in Lompoc. I had a brother that died sober at 16 years. And I had a brother that died of active alcoholism at 36 years old, who did at one time have 15 months. And, you know, people that know me, I can go on and on and on. So thank you.
Okay, so we have 337, so that's cool. Billy, with 37 years. Sobriety date, 10-2-84.
10-2-84.
That's it.
Yep.
There you go. 4 minutes.
Thanks, Pam. My name's Billy. I'm an alcoholic. And on the day I was born, I had 4 sisters. By the time I was 6 years old, I had 8 sisters. And by the time I was 8 years old, I had a brother. And I was in the middle of 10 of us, and kind of grew up in a convent. There's, you know, holy pictures everywhere, Catholic, all that stuff, and praying the rosary, and all that stuff. And so the child at one point in my life had an unbreakable, unshakable love of God. Fast forward, by the end of my drinking days, I had disdain for God. If there was a God, God was some kind of a bad joke. And when I washed up on the shores of Alcoholics Anonymous, finally, it was through a therapist who gave me a book to read called Under the Influence. And it talks about the physiological part of alcoholism, and that if you have the physiology, if you have a drink, your craving is going to kick in, and that's just how it is. It's a condition. And anyhow, so when I got to AA, I knew that alcoholism was a condition. I have it, and it's progressive. And so I didn't have to wrestle with that kind of stuff that a lot of people do. And when I got here because I knew you people knew how to stay sober. My brother and I had invited me over the years. And as a child, when I had that unbreakable, unshakable love of God, I wanted to be able to share it, to help other people embrace life with a fullness that's available to embrace. And by the, you know, by the end of my days, I had no embrace. I was apathetic at the end of my drinking days. I didn't have enough energy to be depressed or angry or fearful. I was just apathetic and just stumbling forward in life. anyhow, so I got here, willing to be sober, got to my first meeting, the men's stag, Tuesday night in Santa Barbara, the Sisterian Church, the church on Mitchell Twin in the state, if anyone knows it down there. Anyhow, and I experienced that as a gift, a blessing, some kind of grace. Never mind any theology at all, but it was some kind of grace that I was there and willing to be sober. 4 months later, I was the secretary of the meeting. I got railroaded because my brother-in-law, he had like 18 years sober at the time and so on and so forth. Anyhow, one thing I heard early on when we, of course, in chapter 5, between the 12 steps and the three pertinent ideas, is that the point is we're willing to grow along spiritual lines. And I promised myself in coming to AA that, like, once you can, well, anyhow, if I am just sober, no more alcohol, and that's it, I'm good. I'm just, that's most excellent. I promised myself that if recovery was progressive, I'll be staying. And because I knew the disease was progressive. And I want to share that for anyone here that, you know, is maybe new or whatever, just to know that recovery is progressive. And anyhow, so that thing that we read, you know, the point is we're willing to grow along spiritual lines. That said to me in big bold letters, this is progressive. You know, there isn't a graduation point. No one in there was talking about their certificates of achievement, and they're a grade 4 member of AA, and the guy with the big hat on and the thing around his neck with the robe, he's the guy that's in charge, and we got to talk to him if we want to be a member and sign the contract, and don't forget to bring your credit card and your social security number. I would not exist but for Catholicism. So I'm not going to badmouth Catholicism, but there was an organization within which I got back to the church about 3 years ago for about a year, and I was going to volunteer in this organization, and they wanted my social, you know, like background check on being a volunteer. So I said, no, never mind, I'll skip that, thanks. But anyhow, so the point is, in being willing to grow along spiritual lines, and experiencing the 11th step is a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. There's no point if it's not our spiritual connection. You know, our conscious contact with God. It's not to improve our conscious contact with God. And I've grown to a point to understand my higher power is infinite, eternal, and love, among other characteristics. And if that's true, then reality is the presence of infinite, eternal love, like right here, right now. And that's the basis of my reality. Infinite eternal love is present right now, and anything that gets between me and that experience of that reality is between me and the experience of that reality. And I never left Alcoholics Anonymous, I never would. This is the way of life that gives me life.
Thank you very much. Thank you. All right, we're getting down there. Another 37 years for Patrick.
Yay!
Yay! Sobriety date, 11/2/84.
Can't run away that quick. I can still fight. No, I'm just Patrick, alcoholic. I want to thank God and Alcoholics Anonymous and rooms like this for my continued sobriety. You know, my sponsor today says that during his share. And I come to believe that today, that I could not do this on my own. And my first sponsor, John Peoples, I got sober, speaking of Bill's story, on the first page there, Plattsburgh, New York. And my home group at the time was the Trinity group on Tuesday night. We met in the bottom of a church basement. And I was sharing with Kathy earlier, we used to sit around an 8-foot table so that you could see everybody. You didn't have to crank your neck or do anything, so they could look at you. And sometimes you were in the hot seat. But anyway, the first sponsor, John Peoples, back then we used to be able to smoke in the meetings. And one of the things, one of my first service commitments was, you got it, washing those dirty, stinky ashtrays. And I looked at him and said, what's this got to do with sobriety? He said, shut up and do it. And sometimes that tough love that I've learned in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous is the best thing. Because what I've also seen is the opposite of that, where we're kind of patting them on the back, and what we're doing is patting them right out the door. That enabling that I got when I was drinking. When my son passed away, towards the latter part of my drinking, people are going, yeah, okay, that's what was happening. So here, I've kind of learned in these rooms that reality is reality. I don't have to live in that illusion, that fantasy world, nor should I allow you to do that either. Because the sooner that I found that I got that connection with this higher power, the sooner things changed in my life. And part of what also, getting back to that service, my home group is the Freedom Group in Lompoc, California, the sobriety capital of the world. And it is because we have it on the wall. It is because it is. But anyway, I got there in 89 with the Air Force, and that's where I met some of the old-timers that are here today. Colin. Ray. I'm looking around here. Those two for sure that I knew. And there were some of the other old-timers there. Pat O'Brien. That had me making coffee, I think it was on D Street or whatever it was in the little area. They had the big coffee pot back then. And I can remember making the coffee and being the alcoholic early in recovery that I was, a little more will help. He took that first drink, he came up to me and says, what the heck you doing? Follow instructions. And I can laugh about that today. You were serious back then. But laughing about that. And I find that being of service in this fellowship keeps me in this fellowship. Yeah. There's been years that I've kind of stepped back and kind of watched. And that watching doesn't do me any good. Because one old timer once said, Pat, you can't coast going uphill working this way. It's one of those things. So that's what I've kind of learned in here, is to be of service. And, you know, I have a commitment at the Freedom Group right now. At the noon meeting, that's my regular meeting there, 7 o'clock's too early. 7 o'clock night's too late for this guy. But part of it is I have a commitment at that, and it's not one that people are signing up for. Halfway through the meeting, I go grab that coffee pot and serve people their coffee. So they're not kind of getting up individually and doing this, because that's what I learned from my first sponsor. Because I remember going to the coffee pot. Hey, look at me. I'm going to go get some coffee. You know, the eyes were on me. And guess what? I'd only bring one back for me. He looked at me with that sponsor eye going, you got two hands. Bring another one. And that's so true that I get to observe that and kind of be where he was at, of where I can help out and be of service. Because I've learned I don't have to be that Catholic on my knees. I was sharing that over there. I get to be of service by having what? These constant thoughts of others and where I can help them and be of service for their well-being, not mine. So thanks for letting me share. Thank you.
And last but not least, we have a lady here in our presence that has a sobriety date of 12/14/80. 2/14/80. Sorry, I copied them wrong. Mary Ann with 42 years.
Grateful for being here. My name is Mary Ann. I'm an alcoholic. Without you, I wouldn't be here. From the get-go, I had a problem with perception, and that perception had to do with you, me, the world, and God. And I needed relief somehow, some way. And alcohol was always a beverage in our home, so thought nothing of it. And I drank for a number of years without any problem. And then all of a sudden, I started getting drunk when I didn't want to get drunk, started doing things that I wouldn't normally do. And I thought, well, it was the people, places, and things that made me do it. Long story short, when I got here, I found out that my body had become addicted to it. Although I hadn't drank that way for years, and it just popped up. And the obsession of the mind. This time it's going to be different. This time it's going to be different. It was always going to be different. And it got worse. It never got better. And let's see, that spirituality. I put a wall between God and I. I didn't do it consciously. that if I could just knock them out of the way, because things weren't right. So anyway, I signed myself into a hospital, got acquainted with AA, and I thought, it's okay, I can do it. I can do this, I can do it. And I was afraid of people, places, and things. The big thing is I kept on coming back. But as long as I was at the center of it, I kept on going back out. When I first got in here, I had a home, I had a son, I had a good job. And gradually, I lost every one of them. Every one of them, because I kept on going back out. I listened to what my head said. So I chose a sponsor, started working the steps to the best of my ability. And that's all it was, the best of my ability. It didn't have to be perfect. The best of my ability. God moved through those steps. God moved through those steps. He used you people. The people I ran from, the things I ran from, came and embraced me and carried me through. So grateful for it. Long story short, I've been sober for a while now. I ended up getting another good job. I never got my son back. He chose to stay away. And that was okay. I learned how to live with what I have. Although I wanted him back. And I got another house gradually. The big thing is today I have a relationship with my God that is phenomenal. My God loves me just where I'm at. He loved me when I was down in the gutter. He loved me when I was up on the mountaintop. He chased me and pursued me. And he's the one who brought me here. He's the one who keeps me here. Grateful. These steps have given me a life beyond my wildest dream. Being able to live at peace with life. Without a substance. That's it. Thank you.
I just didn't want to fall.
Hi, I'm Jamie. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jamie.
And my sobriety date is October 7th, 1991, so I've been sober 30 years. And it's all because of AA. I owe everything to AA, just like pretty much everybody else in the room does. And I wanted to share that if you think this convention is fun or if you're getting good vibes from it or whatever, consider going to a world convention. They have them every 5 years, and I've been to 3 of them. I don't know why I'm always moved to talk about that at conventions, because my sponsor told me when I was new that I was going to go to a world convention. At that time, it was in San Diego, and I lived in Oregon. And I thought, there's no way I'll ever get to Oregon, to San Diego from Oregon. I can't even quit drinking, you know. I'm drinking every day. I don't understand what you're talking about, but I'm going to go to this world convention someday. And she was right. I did end up getting sober and did end up going and went to 2 more of them, one in Minneapolis and one in Toronto. And my husband rode across country on a motorcycle from Oregon and picked me up in Toronto, and we rode back to Oregon on the motorcycle together. And that's just one of the bitchin' things I've been able to do in sobriety, you know. So I really love conventions, and I'm glad to be here. I think that's all I got. Just have fun in sobriety. I went to my first Al-Anon meeting today. I don't know if the Al-Anon speaker's around, but it was wonderful. I really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed hearing everybody share, and I'm glad to be one of the old-timers.
Thank you for all our speakers and for all our...
One more?
We got another? He told me no. Are you going to relent from peer pressure or no? We have as much time as you need. We had a few people that didn't use up their 4 minutes, so here you go.
Oh, I thought it was going to take longer to get this old.
I'm an alcoholic. My name's Colin. And around my anniversary time, which is the 12th day of the 12th month, 1974, and any time I get behind a mic at a podium, I like to give credit where credit is due. One of my favorite lines in the book, and one that fits me like no other line is out of Dr. Bob's Nightmare, where he says something to the effect that we alcoholics seem to have the knack of picking out the world's finest women. And, so Teresa gets a lot of credit. She not only put up with the last half of my drinking, which is right around 10 years, she's also put up with a lot of time of me being stark raving sober. And I'm sure that was worse than my drinking years. I started my drinking where an awful lot of people stopped theirs. I was a freshman in high school, 12 or 13, and in an alley drinking a bottle of stolen wine. And went into a blackout later that night. But before going into a blackout, I could talk. I'd been labeled a quiet, shy guy. I found that one of the effects of alcohol with me was, you know, I could talk, I could say anything to anybody, when I was sober, I wasn't really quiet and shy as sugar-coated, just scared almost to death of what other people think of me. That's what it is. And because of that fear, you know, most of the times I would just really be super quiet. God, I'm going to say something stupid, and then what's Leo going to think of me? On and on and on. I drank my way here. It progressed. It definitely progressed. The last few years of my drinking, there were times when on the very first drink, whether it was a mixed drink over at the Village Inn or a beer at the Pump Room, I could black out, pass out, or crap out right then and there. One during the first drink. I don't know how many times that happened, but it happened numerous times. I was still just 30. And I was celebrating Teresa's 31st birthday and got stopped on the way home that night by the CHP. One officer by the name of Jim Dandy and another one by the name of Ed Miller out of Solvang. Of course, I didn't pass any of the tests that they had, after they charged me and I had to go to court, I called a friend that seemed to know a little bit about everything, and it turned out he happened to be a member of AA. In our third or fourth conversation, he broke that to me. And my dad had died of alcoholism about 10 years before, and so I knew something of alcoholism, so when I talked to Rick, he reminded me of everything I knew about alcoholism and told me a whole lot more, he urged me to go to meetings right away and told me where they were. For the first 90 days, I would not go. So he got a bird dog and he kept an eye on me. He called me, stopped by where I worked, stopped by the house, etc. And I didn't drink. finally went to a meeting, and I've been here ever since. I don't remember what I thought back then, if I thought I'd stick around or anything, but, you know, I've stayed here, and I've noticed that once alcoholics sober up, they're among the nicest people in the world. And that is one of the many things that's kept me here. I've got an awful lot of friends in this fellowship. We've been fortunate enough to go to meetings, different states and around the bound. And just one international, but it's been great. And I'm just so grateful, so fortunate, and want to thank each and every one of you for helping me stay sober. Thank you.
Can we have another hand of applause for all of our old-timers today? All right. Thank you guys for coming. I really do appreciate it.